Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Good day from Africa, Mark. How are you?
Still not out of Africa yet, huh?
No, they're not letting me home until I get this right, and I guess it could be. I could spend the rest of my life.
A long time. So are the goats still making noise in the background?
They are still making noise in the background. They're still making noise in the morning to wake me up. And I don't know if you can hear
there
that.
There they go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There are our African goats. The Africans, at least in East Africa, they love milk. And it's much easier to keep a couple of goats than it is a big old cow. Anyways, last week you picked a poem that talked about orthopedic surgery, and we came down pretty strongly on the fact that it was a good study and perhaps would reduce utilization, that type of arthroscopic surgery. Today we're going to focus on another sort of reduction, this time not in orthopedics or in surgery, but looking at the reduction in antibiotics, particularly for COPD patients. COPD, listeners will know, is an acute increase in symptoms beyond the day-to-day variation. Generally includes one of the following: either cough increases in frequency and or severity, sputum production increases in volume or perhaps changes character, or the patients complain of dyspnea. They can have constitutional symptoms, often an unchanged chest x-ray. Now, the risk of developing a serious exacerbation of COPD correlates with all the things that we'd expect it to correlate with: advanced age, productive cough, duration of COPD, history of hospitalization, etc. Our tendency, for obvious reasons, is to get these patients pretty quickly on antibiotics, given that on occasion COPD exacerbations can lead to death, and that's not a good thing. The question that you're helping us to answer is it possible to identify exacerbations of mild to moderate chronic obstructive pulmonary disease that do not require antibiotic treatment? The article that you've chosen comes from the journal Chest, published in 2013, volume 144, and it starts on page 1571. Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, this was a follow-up to a previous randomized controlled trial. So they had compared Augmentin with placebo in just over 300 patients who had mild to moderate COPD and had an exacerbation. They defined the primary outcome as clinical failure, which was incomplete resolution or persistence or worsening of symptoms on day 10 that required additional treatment. And so they found in the original study that only 10% in the antibiotic group were clinical failures, compared to 19% in the placebo group. So the number needed to treat there is about 11. In the current study, they looked at those data again, but this time they just looked at the placebo patients. There were 152. Now, to get into the study, they all had to have at least one of those things you mentioned: increased dyspnea, increased sputum volume, or increased purulence. Then they tried to find what combinations, were there any combinations that predicted a low failure rate, people who were going to get better even without treatment, versus a high failure rate, people who, if they didn't get an antibiotic, these were placebo patients, had a high failure rate. So those with increased dyspnea and or sputum volume, but no purulence, had only a 5.6% failure rate. So if all they had was more dyspnea, more sputum volume, but there was no purulence, they were fine. Those who had sputum purulence alone, or sputum purulence with one of the other symptoms, either more dyspnea or more volume, had a 20% failure rate. And those who had all three had a 33% failure rate. So they also looked at patients' CRP levels, C-reactive protein. Those with a level less than 40 had a 12% failure rate. It was 65% if their CRP was over 40. So CRP clearly associated with a likelihood of clinical failure in patients who didn't get antibiotics. They did a multivariate analysis trying to figure out which of these four things, which of these three symptoms and one blood test were the best predictors. And it turns out that it was CRP and increased sputum purulence that were the two main predictors, independent predictors of clinical failure in patients who didn't get an antibiotic. So the bottom line is, among patients who had an exacerbation of their mild to moderate COPD, those who had a CRP greater than 40 and those with sputum purulence were at increased risk for treatment failure if they didn't get an antibiotic. So patients who fall into that category, you might want to target antibiotics. Those who have only dyspnea or sputum volume increase, who had no purulence and who had a CRP less than 40, were at very low risk of treatment failure. So useful information. I don't know how many folks are, you know, have the ability to quickly get a CRP. If you're in the ER, you can. If you're in urgent care, maybe. If you're in a family practice office, probably not. So, but still, the clinical symptoms alone can be quite helpful as well.
Interesting. When you talk about purulence, Mark, are you talking primarily about color and viscosity? Is that when increased purulence?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yep.
Great. So those are pretty easy things to remember. And as you say, CRP is pretty easy to get. And even if you have to send it out to a lab, it usually comes back quite quickly, and you can make a decision for antibiotics. Well, good. That's a very practical study. Perhaps we can stop treating a little bit of the patients that come in with these COPD exacerbations.
So, I mean, that does suggest a strategy that's potentially useful, which would be to give the patients a prescription, but say, don't fill it. We're checking the CRP. And if the CRP is negative and they don't have any significant purulence, then you could tell them to, you know, tear up the prescription. You can always make prescriptions good for only 24 hours so that they don't save it for, you know, days and days and weeks and weeks. Anyway, I think that might be another way to handle this. And if it's positive, they can start taking it the next day.
It's been a long time, I think, since I've written a paper and pen prescription. Everything for me now is electronic, so there's no more, you know, giving and tearing it up. It's, I guess, deleting it or having the pharmacy delete it from their queue or something. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, you know, the clinic where I currently practice does not have an EHR. It's a clinic for the medically underserved. So, yeah, I'm still writing paper prescriptions. So, yeah, that's a good question.
We'll talk with you again next week. Thanks.
All right. Take care.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.